Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Welcome to Motivational Monday. I'm here at the table with my daughter, Madison.
Hello.
And we are going to talk about something in this season of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to let Madison actually pray and start us off this episode.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for who you are and Jesus, your Son, that you've given to us in the season that we have and that we're celebrating as a world. Just really taking the time and remembering that Jesus came as a baby, and we're just so thankful for his life, his death, his resurrection, and what that means to us. And we're thankful for the Spirit that you've given us. And don't let us forget who you are in this time. Heavenly Father, just speak to the people that are listening, that they will hear what they need to hear and take what they need to take from this episode, and just your will be done in our lives. We love you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, we were talking about Christmas coming up, and we have our little Tuesday Bible boot camp ladies, and we were sharing, I don't really know how it got started, but just sharing things that we're learning, you know, journeys that we're on, and something that has recently come about in my faith walk journey is when I learn something, when I really learn it and I know that came from God and I need to apply it in my life, I've been writing it down. And so I have a journal and I'm writing down, you know, the day that sometimes we say like it got downloaded in our brain or someone spoke it. And I know that was for me. And I write down the truth. I write down how I can apply that. And then the verses that match up with that. And so I shared with our group one of the truths that my last truth that recently popped out, that God's presence is more important than his presence. And so that's two different presence, right?
You may have to spell them for
us. So God's presence, if I spell it right, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E.
Yes.
Is more important than his presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. Mm-hmm. So I get this picture. I mean, it's Christmas time. Santa is here and he lays all the presents underneath the Christmas tree and he leaves. And we're so excited to wake up and get all the stuff. And no one cares about Santa and having a relationship with him. No one writes him a letter and says, can you vacation with us in July? Can you spend the night at my house? I want to be your best friend. Can I pen pal you letters? No one cares. We only want the stuff. And then the whole rest of the year, I don't care about a relationship with you. So I get this picture. And he really just challenged me with this truth of you should want me more than the blessings that I give you. I am enough. You don't need my stuff to be fulfilled, to have joy, to have peace, to have rest. He's enough. And so some of the verses that popped up when I was looking at this, and they might not make the most sense until you put them together. But John 3:30, you've probably heard it on here before, but he must increase, but I must decrease. Mm-hmm. It is prideful of us to expect things from God and make those things almost idols in our life. Mm-hmm. He's the most important thing, right? Not the stuff that he gives us. So this prayer of God, just, I need you to increase, me to decrease, be humbled. Matthew 10:25 is also something that we've talked about. And it popped up when I was writing this truth. It says, it is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. It's enough. And we've talked about that in an earlier episode, that it's enough just to be like God, mm-hmm. to want to be like God. It doesn't say, you know, if the disciple gets the things that he wants from the teacher, then it's enough. If you get an easy, great life with all the blessings, now it's enough. It's mm-hmm. just enough to be like him and to want to be like him. And how do I want to be like him? I read the word. I give him space and time in my life. I build a relationship, right? And so Psalms 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy.
And which spelling of presence is that one?
P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Mm. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
So not in the stuff is joy.
No, in his presence, in his rest, mm-hmm. in his love, in his hope, in him is joy. So, man, it punched me in the gut a little bit, testing myself. Is there anything that I value more than him or am wanting more than him that's taking up my mind, my prayer more than him, than just being like, I want you. I need more of you. Increase in my life. I want more of the Spirit. I need to be more like Jesus. And we look at Luke 10, and this is really helpful in an image of this. If you know the story of Mary and Martha, when Jesus was still on earth, Jesus goes to the village and Mary and Martha are his friends, and they invite him into their house, and Jesus is there, and it says Mary is sitting at the Lord's feet and he's listening, and she's listening to his teaching. And then in verse 40, it says Martha is distracted and she's serving. And she goes up to him and she says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. And then it says, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So that brought to light this idea of relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, I should want Jesus. I should want the Spirit so much. And for him to be my best friend, for him to be, feel like he's right here in the room mm-hmm. so much, I'm listening to his teaching. I'm just spending time with him mm-hmm. more than what he's going to give me. Mm-hmm. And it seemed really silly to say it out loud, like, duh.
But it impacted all of us. Just, and my Christmas tree's up. There's presents wrapped all underneath it.
Yeah.
So as Madison's talking, I mean, literally, the lights on the tree, the presents are right there in imagery. And we all have to honestly look at that tree and those presents and realize in our humanness, that's what we want from him. Mm-hmm. We want this, we want this, we want this, we want this. But then surrounding all of that are my nativity scenes,
yeah,
which I love to collect. So you're sitting there, well, there's Jesus. He sent us his son. to die for our sins, to make a way for us to spend eternity with him. And I'm still trapped with, but can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you bring me this? Can you give me this? Can you relieve me of this? Mm-hmm. Can you remove this? Mm-hmm. And he's like, man. So then the day after Maddie shared this impactfully to us in the room, a part of our reading plan was Proverbs 27:17, which is the simple iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. So what it reaffirmed to me is if Maddie had received that truth and it impacted her, that would have been enough. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she had the wherewithal and resolve to share it with us, even though you heard her just now say, like, it was so simple, it seemed almost silly to share. But by her doing that, in her obedience to share, she's sharpening us. Mm-hmm. So to the side margin of Proverbs 27:17, I wrote, discipline of community. We have to stay in a community to some capacity. Mm-hmm. One other person, two other people, three other people, some type of a capacity. Because then when we receive something and we share it, we're bolstering someone else's faith. Yeah. Like, because I remember another person in the room was like, yeah, I do that too. Yes, mm-hmm. don't we all do that? Mm-hmm. So then sitting in it the next day, the next morning, praying about just being thankful for Maddie sharing it and being thankful of the six of us women of various stages in life, for all of us being vulnerably transparent with, it doesn't matter what season or stage you're in. Doesn't matter what you're presently going through or what you have or what you've gone through. It's still just all the same. That's just our carnal nature. We want from him. One of the things I just felt I was receiving, I wrote down so affirming of what Maddie shared last night. And I wrote down that she had said, why do we seek his presence, his gifts, and not just be content with his presence, what she just shared with you. So I said to myself, I can take that a step further by saying, I should seek to allow my present situation to lead others to his presence. Which in Proverbs, the verse the day before, 15, was a continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. And what I had written to the side margin of that is, we should uplift, don't drip. And I think I have a very natural, positive attitude, but I also need to re-remind myself that we can let even our difficult situations still uplift others. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean we can't ever bring awareness to something we're going through.
Right.
It means we don't have to gripe and complain. We can just say, this is what my present situation is. It's hard. It's difficult. It causes me some anxiety, it causes me some fear, but I am choosing that God is enough for this situation. I'm choosing his presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, over my present situation.
Mm-hmm. And reaching out to a community and asking them to pray for you.
Yes.
I mean, that's them entering into his presence.
Yes.
And having a relationship with their God, which is also our God.
Yes.
You know, we're all meeting him where we are.
Yes.
And saying, you know.
And so then that's what we really transparently, to let y'all in on, then that's what we went around the room and basically did. We were saying, like, what is something that we are presently experiencing or going through that we could use a community of people to pray us through or into or out of, so that when he does it, we can all say, God did that.
Yeah, that was from God.
If you keep it to yourself all the time, and there are some things you are feeling led to keep to yourself, so don't hear us wrong. But when you are being compelled to share it, then you're giving a platform to God so others then see his miracles. Mm-hmm. And we have been able to see him move us through things already. Mm-hmm. And so there's nothing wrong with, as we go into the new year, what else are we praying for? Then another activity we did was actually like a time capsule. I had found some little paper boxes. They all came flat. They look like little houses, like little gingerbread houses. And you fold them up and put them together. And honestly, what they're for is to like put a little gift in. Like you could put candy in them, or you could put a little bracelet or something. It's like a little Christmas gift box. But I just knew and felt, as we are going into the new year, that it was an opportunity to almost make them into like a time capsule. That if we stopped right where we are at the end of 2025, and on little strips of paper, we almost like logged where we were. Where am I mentally? Where am I spiritually? Where am I physically? Maybe where am I financially? Where am I with friends? Where am I with family? Where am I with work? Just like really, like what is my now? Thank him for the blessings, like what I have, what you've given me. And then it's okay to allow yourself to say, this is what I'm praying for. This is what I'm hoping in the year to come you will bring to pass, or you'll pass that desire away from me. You know, there's two outcomes to everything. We get a yes from him, we get a no, we get a not now, or we get, you know what, it's not even needed anymore. It's not even a request of mine. Mm-hmm. And if we prayerfully then write those strips and put them down in that little paper gingerbread box and fold it all up, there's a little string that you can weave through it. You could like hang it on the tree or just have it set around. And I challenge them to pack it up and put it away with all their Christmas decor. Just pack it away, put it up. And then when we get it out next year, December 2026, I hope we're all available to meet again in a room and like open them up and just almost be delighted by, oh my gosh, he did this and so much more, or realize that was a no. Mm-hmm. But maybe in a year from now, we know why it's a no. Or maybe it's still a not yet, but we're okay because his presence is enough. Mm-hmm. That we're seeking meeting with him more than getting from him.
Right.
Like Maddie so eloquently said.
Yeah.
So we challenge those options for you to do. Think about, is there something right now that you could vulnerably share with one other person to pray with you about? And then is there some way, I mean, you could do it in a journal. It doesn't have to be in a little paper gingerbread house on a tree. But is there some way you could log for yourself where you are right this moment, and a year from now, go back and find it? Mm-hmm. I don't know if any of you are journalers, or if some of you are not journalers. There's so much power in journaling, to going back and it taking you back to a time and a place where you were. And what I like to think of is sometimes, like, think of now, you're put yourself in a car, put yourself in the driver's seat. Put your hands on the wheel. You are going, but be honest and pretend that you don't even know where you're going. You're going, you're driving down the road, but you don't know where you're going. That's sometimes what faith looks like. Faith is both hands on the wheel, foot on the pedal, and I'm going. But sometimes I think what I do is I'm like, but God, when am I going to get there? Or where am I going? Or is this the right road? And what I try to remind myself is faith forward is sometimes harder than rear view mirror and side mirror faith. Because when I feel lost or not sure, what I can have presence of mind knowing is that, look back, Paulette, where all the times God was there for you. That's mm-hmm. your rear view mirror. Look at your side mirror to the right, side mirror to the left. Look back at every time God showed up and got you through it and answered it better than you even expected.
Yeah.
How many times were his no's
Now you know why those were mm-hmm. no's. In fact, you're thanking him for no's. Mm-hmm. You're like, I'm so glad you didn't give me that.
Yeah.
I didn't need that provision. I needed protection from that prayer. I didn't even know what I didn't know. So think of that, ladies. If you're headed into the new year and you feel hands on the wheel, foot to the pedal, but you feel lost, check your mirrors. Check all the times God was there for you. And then keep driving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Find someone to sit in the passenger seat.
I was going
to
say, if you invite some other people in,
they'll walk
the wall with you. Yes. And they can be in your car. They can be the people that are like, yeah,
you can tell stories.
Let's go. And make the ride enjoyable.
Yeah. Seriously, though.
Because he is enough. But when you've got people beside you, rooting for you, uplifting you, and saying, yep, we're going the right direction. We don't know where we're going, but this is good. And they can also put the signs on the side of the road that said, look, he did this for me.
Yes.
And that can encourage you as well. You all have signs in the rearview mirror of like, this is what he's taken us all through. And it all looks different, but it's all good. And it helps us reach him and his presence. We'll never get there, but it's this journey of getting as close as we possibly can, meeting him as much as possible until we get to heaven. And then we're going to be in his presence forever, right? Yeah. Glorifying him. And like one pastor said, at that point, you won't need faith because you're not hoping for something. You're not trusting in a promise. You're going to have it. It's going to be right there. And that's this ultimate gift that we know we have, but we don't have it yet. And so why not open it a little early and be able to experience his presence here and meet with him and dwell with him and rejoice in the community that we have and read his word and seek his truth. So then when you get to heaven, you're like, I was so close when I was on earth.
I didn't waste time.
I sought you out and I found you. And what does it say when you have his presence, you have fullness of joy. And that's such a popular word around Christmas. It's joy to the world. Joy, joy, joy. So do you have that joy? Do you have his presence? Just encourage you to find it.
This is the Monday before Christmas. I hope you have wrapped presents under your tree. Take a minute and sit there. Turn the lights off. Let your tree lights shine. And look at those presents under that tree and just remember to be grateful for the only presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, we need, and it's him. It's him and him alone. And I loved what Maddie said about the one-time Santa. Don't make him the one-time God. Don't make him the once-a-week Sunday God.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy his presence and his love and his faithfulness and his hope and his joy and his trust every day. We have access to it every day. Amen. I'm going to leave with one more funny. I wrapped presents really early this year because my son, daughter-in-law, and granddaughter came at Thanksgiving and they weren't coming back at Christmas. So they went ahead and let my granddaughter, who doesn't even know dates and on a calendar and when or care Christmas is because she's still little, we opened them at Thanksgiving. So they've been under the tree wrapped for a long time. So Maddie's son, Mickey, comes over. I get to pick him up on Wednesdays every week. So he came over after I had him wrapped and under the present, under the tree. And what is the first thing? It's the first thing we do as humans. The first thing he does is, well, first he's very brilliant. He comes to me because I use two different types of wrapping paper. So the first thing he comes, because he's trying to cut down his, how much work he's going to have to do, he says, Lolly, did you wrap baby Letty's presents in one paper and my presents in another? You know, that really would have been smart, but I didn't make it that easy. I said, no, because he said that would have made it easier for me to find them. I said, no, I used both wrapping paper for both of your presents. And he was like, so he goes in, what does he have to do? He has to start flipping over every tag to see two from. And so what he's starting to do is he's counting how many of the presents under the tree are for him and how many presents under the tree are for baby Letty. So what he discovers is he has two more than baby Letty. So he's fine about that. He's like, I have this many and she only has this many. I have two more, because he's very good at math. And I'm like, oh, okay. And Pop Pops was in the room and he says, Mickey, you know, it's not always about how many. Lolly and Pop Pops know how much money we are spending. So the same amount of money can be spent on different amounts of presents. And he, you know, that went over his head. But thanks, Pop Pops, for trying. But then the next thing he goes to is he picks up the biggest one under the tree. And he says, why is this one for baby Letty? And I said, well, I'm going to be honest. It's that big because of what it is. And I'll tell you what it is. I don't think you would want it. So when I told him what it was, he's like, oh, that's for a baby. And I said, so then does it really matter what size? And he says, no. And he never asked to open them early. He was very content to know that they were there. He was content to wait another month to open them because he was secure in the idea that there is something for me. And I thought, isn't that us? Isn't that us? Don't we start to almost compare, like, well, why did that family get this? Or why did she get this? Or why did I not get this? It's human. Mm-hmm. But if, like him, we could be okay with, you know what, apparently God knows best. He knows what we need, when we need it, and for who we need it from. And can't we be just content with, you know what, he's enough. He loves us enough. He wants the best for us. So can't we just rest in that, knowing it'll come when it's time? And then that's just a preview of the verse in Habakkuk that I am mapping now that we'll talk about. And Maddie will share more in another episode, the verse she's mapping. But about that hope, if we can just wait for his timing. And in the meantime, if we can just enjoy his presence. Mm-hmm. So this Christmas, we hope you have a wonderful time with family and friends. Unwrap and enjoy, but keep the iron sharpening iron that Maddie shared with us. Is it what you get from him, or is it that continual relationship that you have access to with him that's most important? But anyway, Merry Christmas from both of us.
May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.